This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
The Custer's Black Podcast, whatever that is. Hello.
Hello.
You all right?
Yeah, not bad. How you been?
Busy.
Yep. As we all.
Mm-hmm. This is sort of our end of season review. We're not gonna deep dive into the current takeover.
No, it's too much. It's a waste of time.
If at all, really, and that might not be what people want to hear. But I think it's best to, until we know actual facts, I think it's best not to continue spreading rumours, because there's enough of them going around. I think Shrimper Zone's kind of taking care of that. For everyone, so yeah.
In fairness, I don't even know what's real anymore. If you get what I mean,
no. So,
there's a couple of things that people have said that are normally quite reliable, and I'll take their word for it. But
yeah, so I think
we can
gloss over the takeover situation quite briefly. As far as we're led to believe, there's a takeover going to happen, and that's pretty much all we know for an absolute concrete fact. Other than that, you know, it's rumours, isn't it? The club's up for sale, we know that. There's interested parties, we know that. And that's...
I was going to say all party, but yeah, it's... there definitely is more than one interested, but it looks like it's one that's further than everyone else. So
yeah. But other than that, I think it's best not to speak about it until we know a little bit more.
And when that is announced, there'll obviously be...
We'll dissect
after it. The five-day bender, then we'll record something. But until then... It's almost a bit pointless talking. No, it's not pointless, but you know what I mean? It's hearsay, really.
Yeah, a lot of it would be hearsay. A lot of it would be rumour.
In that sense, it is pointless, because it's delaying us our pre-season and our early season work. So it is pointless to talk about it.
Yeah.
You know,
that's the only thing.
They can't do anything.
But,
so.
You know, it's the same problems that Kevin Mayer is facing that has hindered him.
That he's had all season. So
he's had all season. So in that sense, not a lot has changed. No. Well, nothing's changed.
No.
So the conversation will be quite similar to what we've said for the last year. And to be honest, that we keep saying this, and hopefully, you know, this podcast can thrive a bit better under new ownership, because for as long as we've done this, maybe we've been a bit of a jinx, you know, and I'm sure I've said that before. Because when we started this 4 years ago, it really was the start of our proper
We've been
club,
shit.
We have been pretty shit.
It's been the best season.
And that's not even just about on the pitch. That's predominantly off the pitch. But there was a brief period where that was on the pitch as well.
I was about to say, I don't know. There was a time.
No, but that's what I mean. But that's harsh on the season that's just finished.
Oh, yeah.
That was off the pitch that was just barbaric. But yeah, hopefully once this takeover has gone through, Ron Martin is completely in the rear view mirror, that there's a lot more sort of bigger and better things to come from this podcast, because there is stuff that we want to do. We are, like, you might not think it sometimes, but we are incredibly passionate fans, but we've had the life sucked out of us for Christ knows how long now, where we've got to the point where we don't want to keep moaning about stuff. We do want to try and build up professional. We never wanted to be that Arsenal fan TV vibe where we just batter people and call someone out for being shit or that, because that's boring and it's not productive.
But it's also not real football in that
sense. It's just pointless.
It's just
pointless. Like, so these, like, we're at a level where the players, like, obviously players at any level are human beings too, but, you know, players might, you know, you never know, players might listen to this.
Yeah. I doubt it, but
well,
yeah.
Well, yeah, I very much doubt it, but you know what I mean.
I know what you're saying. They probably read tweets, so... Yeah.
Exactly.
So let's face it, they'll see him. Even if they don't follow us, they'll see him. So.
We want to be a professional platform, professional lines of communication that we have been very privileged to have from, like, the club. So, yeah, just to bring this full circle to my original point, hopefully, when he's fucked off, this can really go on to sort of some bigger and better things, and we can be more regular with our content, yeah. Because hopefully, fingers crossed, we won't be talking about a shit show.
Yeah. Well, and having said what you just said there, there's a bit of a watch this space there as well, so we'll just leave it at that for that sort of...
Nicely done.
We'll leave it at that. Yeah, let's talk about the season anyway.
Yeah, this is our season review.
Yeah, let's talk about it. How would you sum up the season in one word?
Why don't we rank it out of 10?
The word I'd use would be frustrating. So I don't... There's positives in there, but as a whole, I'd say frustrating.
A single word I would use to sum up the season.
There's loads of words you could use, but I would say frustrating.
Stagnant.
Hmm. Yeah. It's no one's fault, really.
Yeah.
Well, it is someone's fault, but you know what I mean. Like,
it's no one's fault that can actually do anything about it.
No.
What I mean by that is that's responsible for going out and getting 3 points on a Saturday or Tuesday.
Yeah.
The man that's responsible for it is, like, well, in hiding. Can't show his face.
I'd use the word frustrating. There was a lot of progress made, I thought. Or at least there was some progress made. We saw, like, the foundations that were there and potentially going to be... I was hoping they'd be there for at least next season as well, but obviously we're already losing a few players and can't keep anyone, so that's an issue. But yeah, it started off sort of hit and miss. Once we had a settled team, started to build, and then kind of had the arse ripped out of it a bit, really, with the whole unpaid wages and stuff. Yeah. And there was a brief period where that sort of brought everyone together, and I think there was that. I think once Ron got involved a bit with the supposed threats, I'll say supposed because, well, I'm not 100% sure, but I'm 99% sure that happened. And ever since then, it went a bit shitty, really.
Yeah, see, I actually think that the season, well, the pre-season, started with a lot of optimism.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Because, definitely.
You know, Kev come in sort of midway through the previous season. We brought a lot of new players in. We were continuing to bring players in, and you really felt like this was the win. Okay, it's another National League, doesn't specifically have a transfer window, but this is Kev's first summer transfer window.
Yeah, proper window.
He can put a proper stamp on things, which I actually think he did. I think the signings that we made this time last year, excuse me, were good.
Yeah.
He made good signings.
Yeah.
So, yeah, as I said, I think the pre-season started with a lot of optimism. And then I think it massively derailed the week before the start of the season with the departure of Sam Dalby.
Yeah.
And how we kind of... not that alone...
That was, alone was a bit of a knock.
Disappointing. Well, first of all, to lose a good young player that the previous season had played well over 40 games and scored 10 goals.
I think he missed one game.
Yeah.
I think. I might be wrong in saying that.
You know... obviously fit to play a full season, was scoring goals, was young and developing, and we replace him with the complete opposite.
Yeah.
And I literally just said, like, 2 minutes ago that I don't want to, like, start battering players. When Jake Hyde could make it onto the pitch for us, I thought he was an asset.
Yeah, it was always going to be... It was always a gamble, that one, and I guess in that sense our hands were... We was forced a bit with that one. Yeah.
When he was fit, when he was in the team... I thought he did give us something for the games that the goal return to the games that he played probably wasn't that horrendous either. He did score a few goals, like tidy finishes as well.
I know it's not the point, but I reckon if it was return when 100% fit, or maybe not, but when he was up for it, there was a couple of games especially towards the end where you could see he was probably been, I wouldn't even say rush back, but maybe he wasn't feeling 100% and it showed.
Yeah, and he should have had one more goal to his overall tally, that ghost goal against Wrexham.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I think that kind of took the wind out of everyone's sails right before the start of the season. We've lost a good young striker who was always going to go when Wrexham come calling. And then the disappointing, I think, probably the kindest way to put it, replacement we got for him.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I mean, I was actually a bit on the fence of it. I think the same as everyone. It was like, if he stays fit, you've got a good player.
It's always isn't it? How many times we said that, though? If he's fit.
If we had kept him fit, he was a better player. Or at least, maybe not even better player, but would definitely score more goals at least. That's what I thought. If he played 40 games, he would have got more goals. I still stick by that, actually, but, you know, doesn't really matter anyway. It ended up being another in that sense, Reece Murphy, which we didn't need. So,
yeah, you don't need both, do you?
No, which is a shame. They're Yeovil's issue now, so we'll leave them
there. Yeah, that's bold. Like, a completely unrelated note, we're not a Yeovil Town podcast, but I think that's bold to go and sign both of them.
Well, I think they've just gone for a bit of experience. They'll probably chop them both in tonight, so... It is what it is there, but yeah. So yeah, it didn't start great. The wind out the sails a bit. But I didn't go to that first game. It was against Bournemouth, wasn't it? Bournemouth. You went, didn't you?
I went.
Yeah. We're not going to go through game by game, by the way. But it's just
Christ, we'd be here like 4 hours.
Yeah. But what was the boy in play for? For like half hour or something.
Half that.
Yeah. I mean, that's disgraceful, actually. To be honest, disgraceful. It's a slightly unrelated topic here, but I'll put. Bromley and probably Eastleigh into this, and this isn't actually sour grapes here, by the way, but I actually don't know how fans can watch it every week, their football. I couldn't watch that every week, and I'm being deadly serious. I couldn't watch it because we used to play against like a Steve Evans type team, and I'd be like, oh, they're quite physical, long ball and a bit anti-football. My god, them teams are something else. Like, yeah, it is what it is. I say that's another sort of topic, but I just wanted to put that in there because some of the teams we play this year have been. Not been football.
Some of it's a tough one.
It's not been football. Yeah. Some of it's been great, but it's not been football. But yeah, so that obviously that wasn't a great start to the season. Losing 1-0 with 9 men. I was at Tenerife, so I didn't really give a shit at the time. But a few games later, Steve's out for the season pretty much, isn't he? So that's obviously.
Yeah.
Another kick.
That's your player of the season.
That's what I mean.
And yeah, at the time, I think a lot of myself included were quite worried about that. But I think fair play to Colin. I think in the circumstances as well, come in and done incredibly well.
He's not fazed by anything, that's why.
No, he's very...
Because he has made a couple of errors.
Composed, isn't he?
Well, I actually don't think he's made any errors at the goals that I can think of. But he's made errors, if you get me, on the pitch. Yeah, he's made errors.
The classic
doesn't care.
The classic that a lot of people will come for is when a goalkeeper gets lobbed from the halfway line and they'll try and put that down as a goalkeeping error. I'd love to know where you think the goalkeeper should be standing when the ball's in the halfway line.
I didn't see an issue.
He's not going to be on his line, is he?
No, I didn't see an issue.
And if he is on his line and there's a break on, you'd slag him off for that.
I agree.
Colin's made no errors that have directly led to a goal.
I don't think he has.
He's 19 years old.
Yeah.
He's going to make mistakes, but you'd much rather have him in the team making the mistakes and learning from them than you being forced into a position where, well, like what happened, your first choice goalkeeper gets injured, but your replacement isn't ready. He's nowhere near ready.
I actually think he's going to be one that will sell this summer. Probably. I don't think he'll be here.
Do you know?
No. Because I think if you look at the age, you should take that into consideration. And all right, don't get me wrong, it's not all on stats and stuff, but wasn't it like a 13 clean sheets and like 20-odd games and stuff?
Impressive.
I honestly think if you're like we've seen it with when we had that clear out of youngsters before, when it was like Kelman and Hutchinson.
Young
and stuff.
Goalkeepers are pretty sort of.
I think that you look at that stats. I don't see why, if you're like a QPR, why you wouldn't go, you know what, we'll have a gamble on that. Stick him in the 23s and we'll gamble on that. Mm. I just don't see why you wouldn't. When some of the signings you see and you think, Christ, that's it.
Yeah.
That one to me will make perfect sense. It'll go in a better facilities. You'd like to think better coaching in that sense. They could maybe bring out another level with him. I don't think he'll be here, but yeah, he stepped up well. We're not jumping ahead here, but obviously he then got injured. was replaced by Blondie, who was probably quite unfortunate, really, given the circumstances.
That's the one, that's the situation I'm talking about, where your replacement's not ready.
Yeah. He didn't seem ready, did he?
He got better as time went on.
Yeah, I think he did. He still made a couple of errors and stuff, but...
that was the difference. He was making errors.
I always felt he was making errors that led to goals. And that, as you say, that's the difference there. There's a difference there.
But it comes down to not being ready.
Yeah. Yeah, there's one that stood out for me, and I kind of felt sorry for him. I can't remember what game it was. But I remember there was a free kick coming in, or there's, you know, being lined up, and I can't remember who it was now, but they were like telling Blondie, was like, you come and claim this. And you could tell he didn't fancy it, but he's obviously heard that shot. He's like, I've got to go now. And as the ball came in, he came to it, he's missed it and they scored. Or he maybe clattered it to someone, didn't claim it properly, and they scored. And I actually kind of felt sorry for him, because I think a stronger character there goes, I'm not claiming that. If I want to claim it, I'll claim it.
Yeah, don't you call
it. Don't you call it.
Claims
and he's come storm, not storming now, but he's in an area where it's a bit like, if you don't reach this, we're in the shit.
Yeah, I remember it.
And like I say, I don't
remember who
bit,
it was against. But
no, I can't remember who it was against. But they say, yeah. But I think he was unfortunate, you know. It was a time where we didn't. It felt like we went on a little bit of a run without winning, or we started to lose a few more games than we were winning. And that never helps the environment and such. And obviously, the unpaid stuff was going on, and which I guess we might as well jump on now. There's no order to this, by the way. This is proper dog and duck. We're just going to ramble on here until we're finished.
Doing.
Yeah. You know, the whole... We've done an embargo since September. So we signed Dakers, played a month, done well in a month, 3 goals in 6, I think it was. Wanted to keep him, couldn't keep him for that reason. Whatever. We sort of randomly signed Blondie, if you remember, at that same time. We thought, why have we signed a third choice goalie? Luckily we did now, when you think about it, in that sense. And then, yeah, a couple of months later, you get all the stories about staff not being paid, players being paid late. And you're thinking, this is just an absolute shit show again.
The kit man left because he weren't getting paid.
Yeah. It was someone that saw an opportunity.
It's not the point that people don't realise this. They do. But I certainly hope they do. I mean, like fans of the club. But to me, like the outside world that see unpaid staff at a football club. Like even unpaid players at a lower league football club. These people are on very modest wages. Like they're on like a salary that me and you are on. They're not on like Premier League money.
No.
Even the admin staff, they're not on Premier League admin staff salary.
No.
Like they're on a very modest wage, and to not be getting that for 2, 3, 4 months is absolutely disgusting.
Yeah, it's just. Yeah, you can't be expected to perform in any environment, any job, week in, week out with that going on. You can't, you know. We actually, if you remember, I think it was when the players stopped being paid. So staff weren't being paid. I remember thinking there's only so long that can happen until it infects you as a player because it's just not a nice environment to be in. The players weren't being paid. Was it like January and February time? And they seemed to rally around together. The team spirit seems to really... And I get that. I actually get it. You're almost like, well, we're all in the same boat here. And I think that says a lot about everyone involved. Players, staff, office staff, the management, whatever. It says a lot because a lot of... I think I would have downsells. I'm telling you now I would have. I wouldn't give a shit. I just wouldn't. And I appreciate football's not like that. It's different. Like, it is a job, but it still is different. I wouldn't turn up. If I didn't get paid, I'm not turning up.
No,
simple as that.
Mate, if I go the day after payday, I've not been paid. I'm like, well,
yeah,
I don't work here anymore.
And there's a lot, you know, me and you both listen to a lot of football podcasts, and I can't remember who this person was, but it was talking about the situation. Oh, where was it? It might have been Berry. I can't remember, but it was basically. The manager almost came in and was like, "This is the situation, boys." You know, obviously, worded differently to this, but it was like, "Look, we can. There's one or two things. We can either give up or we can carry on." If you get what I mean. And they all rally round. I think it must have been Bury.
I think it was.
And they won the league, or they won promotion.
It was Bury.
I mean, and then that's just incredible. If you know what I mean. I get it slightly different, you know, but that's unbelievable. So it showed good character from everyone. I think to just get over it and carry on. Ironically, we then had that when they did get paid, the players, obviously they caught up. We went 7 games without winning, which is as mad.
Well, not only
about
that, it was 7 losses. It weren't.
Yeah,
seven losses, wasn't it?
Yeah.
7 losses.
Which in itself is crazy. That's being paid or not in a way.
No.
Right.
To lose 7 games in a row, all by a 1-goal margin.
Yeah. Which showed it wasn't.
Margins.
It showed it wasn't a lack of effort. It showed it was a lack of confidence, a lack of mentality.
Well, that
mentality of. I don't even think there was this. There might have been a game with one. There was actually Aldershot, I think, with 1-0 up. That's that mentality of.
Yeah.
Oh, we've only 1-0 up.
Yeah.
All of a sudden you're 2-1 down, whatever it was, within 10 minutes. And it's a mentality thing, that's a confidence issue. You know, if we was getting turned over 4-0 again, it'd be a little bit. I think that's a completely different scenario. Completely different.
Well, that was why I remember at the time we were very much banging the drum of don't panic. Yes, it's not ideal. Yes, we probably have now blown the playoffs, but we're not getting battered.
In that sense, we still could have got them.
Been a little bit unlucky, and I know, you know, a lot of people don't like to sort of hear that. Oh, you make your own luck and stuff like that. Like,
but which is true.
Of course you do.
Yeah.
But you've got to remember at that point of the season, the squad was probably so depleted, the squad can't be added to. Like, it's going through, like, everything we've just spoken about, with staff not getting paid, players being paid late, everyone's getting pulled about, pillar to post, don't know what they're doing, don't know what's going on in their heads, like, financially at home and stuff like that. And we still, yeah, we had a little barren run, but we still weren't getting battered.
There's so many variables to consider in there. Yeah. There was one game in that seven-game run, I didn't go to all of them, there was one game in that seven-game run where... I went to it and I sort of went, I can't really defend that one. And I was like, because that did actually look like a few had given up, which was the Dorking game. It sort of looked like a few almost went, oh, I'm not going to be here anyway. Sod it. And I don't think that actually was the case because we ended up winning a few games after that. It was like, that was the last game. And I remember thinking, I can understand why people were frustrated. There was people, like people in our part, in the party I was with, were giving a verbal... you know, that's just this. Yeah,
this isn't good enough.
Given a verbal, should we say, to the players and management, and I sort of stood there and I was like, I'm not doing that, but I can't really have a moan at you doing it.
Yeah.
Like, you're entitled to do that because I thought that was shit. That was bad. That was bad, and it wasn't. People got annoyed because it was Dorking. That it wasn't that for me because actually they deserved that win. They played well. They had a good game plan and stuff. It was just it looked like one or two had. Weren't they were missing a few yards, should we say? Do you know what I mean? Like, and you're thinking you're better than that.
Have you seen better?
Have you given up? What is it now? Because it was visibly noticeable. I thought, and that was an issue. But yeah, luckily we obviously got out of that at that point because that was a low. That was a low. The record was 8, wasn't it, in a row?
Yeah,
losses. That was 7.
I think so. Yeah.
Thank God we didn't beat 8. Because in any other normal season or any normal club, he might have got sacked. I wouldn't have done it because of the scenario. But other clubs might have gone, you can't do 7 in a row. In that sense, you can't. It actually is a bit indefensible. 7 losses in a row is mad.
It was a bit mad.
Like, you know, so honestly, I'm not actually defending it. Again, it's one of them. There's so many variables to things going on. We weren't getting turned over. It was fine margins. But... it was still a bit like, oh wow, 7 games.
Oh, no. I also think as well, I'm not making excuses for it, but it did not so coincidentally go hand in hand with Lapata leaving.
Yeah. We might as well move on to the power.
We'll move on to that little chapter as a whole, signing him to begin with.
Yeah.
And you know, what obviously, sadly, wasn't too long of a spell.
But you are right, because that happened last year. Well, it was already the year before.
Yeah, when
we lost 5 in a row, I think, as soon as he went back.
We've not rebounded well.
Yeah. And like you say, we're not saying it's just
that,
him.
That shows what influence... No, not saying it's just him, but...
Yeah. It's a big part
But
of
that
it.
Does show what influence he was having.
No,
on
I totally team. Agree. Totally
and,
agree.
And maybe the dressing room as well.
Yeah, totally agree. But yeah, so yeah, we'll move on to that. Obviously, we were talking to him basically all summer. You know, I think we alluded to that on one of the recordings at the time. We were always talking to him. And he pretty much rejected a lot of clubs to come. Well, he did. He rejected a lot of clubs to come here. Obviously, I mean, one of the most mental signings that that league's probably ever had. I said he's a bit of an unknown, isn't he, in that sense. It's not like a name, but in terms of quality and his age and the potential that had to grow and sell for £1 million.
You might look at it now and say, like, Chesterfield have just signed Will Grigg, who's like coming to the end of his career and barely scored a goal since 2019. I'm deadly serious. Kasper Lapata is one of, if not the best player to ever play in the National League. When you take into consideration the age,
and
everything. His career has just started.
Yeah, yeah.
And he rejected League One clubs to come here.
Yeah.
And funnily enough, he's walked into a massive.
Can't remember League something now, but yeah, he's rejected a lot of clubs. Literally, it was all, I want to go there. That's it. No other player. Because I'm pretty sure the story went, his agent didn't want him to come here.
Yeah.
And he was like, I don't care, I want to come here. And he was basically like telling everyone to leave, like, I don't want to talk to you. Obviously, there's a fiasco of him leaving Sheffield at the time when it was, I think they wanted to give him a new 3 or even 4 year deal. And they wanted to loan him out. And he basically said, well, I'll accept a 3-4 year deal if you put me in the first team. And he was like, well, we can't guarantee you that. And he was like, well, I want to leave then. That's basically how we got him. I think if they're guaranteeing first team opportunity, he's obviously ain't going to come at that point. He'll be out of touch. I'm playing the championship. So, and yeah, he came into the team, and all of a sudden we look completely different again, completely different unit. We look some leadership back there. Not that we haven't got any leadership, you know, there's more leadership. A unit.
He's a captain. Ed's everything. Straight away, he's a captain.
Ed's it, kicks it, can play a bit. You know, rarely made a mistake. Just everything you'd want in a signing. Everything, age, ability, a willingness to want to be better, everything you want. And yeah, all right, we're not going to go for every game he plays. There's no point. But then, when did we sign him?
August, but you look it? At the in both spells, in the loan spell last season and the permanent spell this season, you look at our win-loss ratio when he's in the team and when he's
not. Oh, it's horrendous.
It's night and day.
Yeah, it's horrendous.
It's absolutely
night
and
day. That's the big possibility. What was it, 6-7 months later? He's gone.
And I think it's pathetic.
He's gone.
You've got people like all over Twitter like now like, oh, well, so I think we're better without him. We're not better without him.
Oh, yeah. The stats
literally tell you we are not better
that,
without
that was, him. I think that was just like...
it's a pride thing.
When your ex dumps you. You know, I didn't like her anyway.
Yeah, I never liked her.
She don't be anyway.
Yeah, I never liked her.
It's it was a bit of that, I think. Really. I mean, I get it because honestly, like, it's the way he left was shit. Yeah, and people have got their opinion of it. It's a very 50-50 split, that is, actually. Mm. People either sort of back him or they don't. It's as simple as that. And, you know, I know a lot of people that are on his side in that sense going, oh, I would have done the same. I'm in that camp, I would have done the same. I wouldn't have been spoken to like that. No. So, simple as that.
Not by an old man.
No. And you get other people going, no, you shouldn't never do that. You signed to play football. And all that.
It's signed to be paid.
Whatever.
For
yeah, something. There's variables to that. But like, whatever. So we're not going to go into that again. It's been done to death. But at the end of the day, it's a massive opportunity loss for the club
we've left money on the table though.
Oh,
because there
you're
was,
talking.
There was a gigantic profit to be made.
Yeah, that's the main issue for me.
And that's what we've let slip through this.
That's the main issue for me, is that we could have just kept him and he could have gone in the summer, but we. Pissed about.
Yeah, he could have gone now.
He could have gone now. We could have sold him. Even in this scenario now, it would have been a cut price, but we would have made a profit on it. And I'd have gone, that's brilliant. That went in for a year. I think it probably would be brilliant. That's business at this level.
Yeah.
Sign a player with some good resale value. Brilliant. Perfect.
Repeat.
Yeah. But you know, there you go.
Cheers, Ron.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, it's just been the story of the season or what? Like, just people being there's even the fundraiser. For the unpaid staff.
I mean, don't be like, not embarrassing in the sense that the way people did it and the way people rallied around it, embarrassing that it come to that.
That it had to come to
that,
yeah.
That it had to come to people, to fans, and even some ex-players and ex-employees putting their hand in their pocket to donate to pay staff's wages. Have you got any idea how embarrassing that is? And that made it onto TalkSport, that made it onto...
That actually made national press.
Yeah, made national press. Good, because that needed the eyes of the world.
He don't give a shit, though. That's the problem.
No, he did. He needed embarrassing at that national level.
He does, but he don't.
Because he's got embarrassed at a local level for a long time with like our local press. And we all know about him.
But that's what I mean. That's kind of the only thing he cares about. It's like a personal pride thing. He actually didn't care enough to the point where I go, oh, wow, I shouldn't be doing that. I'm not saying he's doing it on purpose, if you get what I mean.
I am.
But he wasn't to the point where he went,
he's a narcissist.
Oh, wow, let me... Oh, he is that. But it wasn't like, oh, wow, let me... I need to change this and I'm going to release a statement thanking everyone and saying, oh, I'm personally embarrassed, like, this should never happen. I don't even think... I don't need a pat on the back, you know, but, like, I don't even think he even mentioned it.
He didn't mention it.
That's what I mean.
He didn't mention it.
So in that sense, he don't care. But he cares enough.
But we know he doesn't
take
care.
A personal
because if he cared, he'd just pay stuff.
No, of course, but... That's what I mean, but that's... But, am I still right in saying that some of them staff haven't been paid since March?
I don't know. And that's what I mean. This is where
I think I am right in saying some
difficult.
People...
You don't like to speculate because that's just a ridiculous name for
some. I'm pretty sure some people haven't been paid since March. Now, I don't care if that includes Tom Lawrence, who's obviously on a... Like, it'll be a good wage in that sense.
Yeah.
No one... And there'll be other people in that, by the way. No one should go unpaid since March, if that is correct. No one. We're nearly in July.
Full stop. You shouldn't be going.
No, of course not. But what I mean, but sometimes needs must, if you're whatever, and that's sometimes what happens in well, it doesn't happen in most businesses. But you get a point. Sometimes, normally in a small family business, maybe there'll be a time where you go, look, you're not going to get paid this month, whatever, but you get it back next month, and it happens. That shouldn't happen at like an actual organisation. And that for that period of time. We're nearly in July. You know, but yeah, we're going to hopefully release this on, I'm assuming, the 20th. We're doing this on Sunday. Hopefully it goes up to 26th. We're nearly in July. That's crazy. That's honestly, this is it's disgraceful, to be honest. It's absolutely disgraceful. But I say, we're down to death, really, aren't we? But it's just that we can't. That can never happen.
This is what I was talking about right at the start, where like, why we don't do more of these, because we're talking about the same thing.
Yeah, that can never happen when this deal goes through. If all of a sudden there's issues with these, like, whoever it is, we actually, I don't know what you can do. But yeah, they actually need to be like, right, just get rid of it. Yeah, go on, split it up for sale again. If you have to slash the budget off, but you know, off, do it. Go part-time if you have to. I'm being deadly serious. Make South United a part-time club, if that's what it is.
Until you can sustain it.
Because you can't be doing that. No. That can never happen.
It can't keep hemorrhaging money like that.
Yeah, it can't do it. But that's another discussion point for another time, I guess. Yeah. But, I think when you go back to the actual footballing side again, that obviously let us down. But another thing that let us down was probably all the injuries.
Yeah.
If we have, I know it never happens. If you have a fully fit squad... For that, we get playoffs this year, or last season now. Sorry,
yeah.
I'm not saying we win it. By the way, we're not, but we're miles apart from Ross County.
No, we weren't winning it.
We weren't as good as Chesterfield. We were in the final. So
I genuinely wasn't actually that bothered that we didn't make the playoffs in the end because we were never winning them.
Never winning them.
I wasn't that arsed at all.
And I don't know what our actual record is. I feel like our record is poor against these sort of teams. But I always feel like when we play a team that comes to set up. And defend and waste time.
We can't break it down.
We struggle against them.
So you look at the games we had against. We had very close games against Notts County and Wrexham. Well, the Notts County away game, not so much. But but there's other games as well where even Chesterfield, close. Chesterfield.
Or both games.
Close games. Because both teams are trying to. You're fighting fire with fire.
Yeah.
We're both attacking.
Yeah.
And there'll be other ones as well that I've forgotten. But that Notts County home game sticks out to me.
Well, that's just a very good game of
football. And both Chesterfield games stick out to me. Yeah. I think we lost them both, the Chesterfield
games. No, we did, yeah. I'm saying a bit close on.
But they were very open games of football. Lots of chances. But to your point, if we've got a fully fit side, well, all season, our strike force was, right, who's fit?
Pretty much,
wasn't
it?
What two are fit? You're in.
Pretty much, yeah.
It was never who Kev actually wanted.
No.
So,
which is a shame, really.
If we have got... I probably have said on last season's squad, if we had them all fully fit and he was going with two up front.
I'd go Cardwell and Murphy, I think.
I'd have gone Cardwell and Hyde.
Yeah.
Similar vibe. If everyone was fit, I think that would have been certainly the three main strikers.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't think Cardwell and Hyde ever started the game together. I'm not sure Cardwell and Murphy start the game together. They probably did.
But I mean, it would be on
one hand.
Yeah. You know, that's probably the frustration of the season. It says a lot about
those Chesterfield games. Sorry, like if we're able to actually have our first choice strikers out there, we get more out of that game. I'm sorry, because we actually created a good amount of chances this season.
All season, I thought. A couple of games, obviously.
Didn't take enough.
But yeah,
because obviously their strike force ended up being not good enough.
Yeah.
Because it's not first choice.
Yeah. Which is what it is, isn't it?
If that happens, we're obviously not the only team that suffers with injuries. And I'm not expecting the world's smallest violin to come out. But it is a factor.
Then
when you can't sign anyone.
Yeah. One thing I'll say on that is, yeah, we were, not to repeat ourselves, but yeah, like you say, so we couldn't replace anyone. We reference to sort of use who we had. I'm not saying they had injuries, I don't know, but in January, I think it was January anyway, well, it doesn't matter when it was, but Chesterfield signed McCallum and Dallas on loan. Well, you can't really compete with that in that sense. We literally can compete with that. They got Ryan Colclough from Altrincham, who in my opinion is the best left winger in the league. I think he's the only left winger that's better than Bridge. I think they made one other proper decent signing. And you think, I think it was that, is it Palmer that was from Stockport captain, centre half?
Oh, yeah.
Palmer, I can't remember his name.
Yeah, I think it is Palmer.
And I'm thinking, we couldn't compete with that. You know, so.
Even if we could sign players, we're going to struggle to sign three players that are better than that.
Yeah, it's three very good signings.
Like, position for position.
Yeah.
Like, they nailed it.
Yeah. So. Yeah, there's stuff you'd like to think when that takeover does happen that we can compete with. But until then, it is what it is. But having said that, with the situation we're in, I mean, we're losing players.
Yeah. Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club. Because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
So we've already lost 3.
So Hobson's got a...
Murphy, Arnold and Hobson.
I think Murphy was always going to leave.
Do you think we'd have released him?
Yeah.
Because we haven't been able to announce a retained list.
That's what I mean. Well, I'm pretty sure come the 1st of July we have to announce it.
Well, it's everyone.
Yeah, you have to announce it.
The contract expires on the 30th.
Yeah, so you have to announce
it. So even if we wanted to, so someone like Jack Bridge, who we will undoubtedly want to keep, if it comes to midnight on the 30th, he's a free agent.
Yeah.
We can, of course, still negotiate with him,
but
he is a free agent at that point.
Yeah, so obviously, I think he would have left. I think that would have been a case of that I actually do rate you as a player, but I can't have that again. Do you know what I mean? I can't have you playing. I mean, I remember Jimmy came on against Barnley and 5 minutes later, he's rolled his ankle.
He stacked it.
You know, it's unfortunate. That's actually not... it is being injury prone, if you know what I mean, but that wasn't like he came on and his knee went again. He came on and rolled his ankle.
I'll tell you what I'd
do. You know what I mean?
Get a pair of World Cups on, mate.
Oh, yeah.
Get some studs.
Yeah, get some studs.
I could go down a right rabbit hole here on how proper football boots would stop a lot of injuries.
But, yeah, I think that's what that would have been with that one. I'd be amazed if we, even with his injury, because he's had that operation now, I think we would have kept Arnold.
You think we would have kept Arnold?
Yeah.
Do you think?
Yeah, definitely.
I'm not sure.
Do you not think he would have gone even as number 2?
I don't know.
He might not have stayed as number 2. Yeah. I think we definitely would have wanted to keep him.
And I do rate him. But I think much like Murphy, funnily enough, like very similar age, kind of like 33 now, maybe a tad older.
Yeah, something like that, 33. So yeah, give or take.
Both had quite, you know, substantial injuries. Missed a lot of last season. I think we might have gone to both. See you later.
I still think you would have kept him. I reckon we might be nice with him. So look, we're gonna sign another keeper because we've been after.
Well, we were after Justin.
It was in fairness. Once he were injured, I'm dead to believe anyway.
Well, can we say this now?
What?
Okay, I'm going to say it anyway. Basically, all of last season, we were trying to sign Elliot Justin.
Yeah, I mean, I was
since Arnold's injury.
I remember being at the Chesterfield away game, and somebody mentioned it then.
Obviously, someone that's got massive connections to John Steele because he's been at Dagenham a long time.
And they had him at Luton.
We were trying to sign him virtually all of last season. Of course, we couldn't because of this embargo. We still wanted to sign him this summer. Maybe, that's what I mean, that is part of the reason why I think we might have said that bye to Steve anyway. Because we obviously had our eyes on him. A little bit younger. New number one, you're established enough to be the number one.
Oh, yeah, he would have been number one.
But now, again, because of our embargo, he's obviously got to a point and gone, well, I can't wait any longer.
Oh, definitely.
I need a job.
Definitely, yeah.
And he's re-signed for Dagenham.
Yeah. Because I'm pretty sure, not to change subject quickly, but I'm pretty sure we actually spoke to Paul McCullum. Is it McCullum or McCallum?
McCullum? I think his name's McCullum.
Yeah.
I think.
He generally just wasn't prepared to wait at all. He was like, can you sign me now then? No, we'll see later.
That's fair enough. So, if you've got options on the table, I'd be like, one, I'm going to wait for you.
Yeah. But anyway, he's going back. So, I personally think we would have kept Arnold. But anyway, we couldn't. And obviously, Hobson was basically going regardless. It was pretty common knowledge since January.
That makes sense. And again, I think the way the timeline went there, there was interest from Salford. First of all, he's obviously a Manchester boy. Made it quite clear he wanted to head back up that way.
Yeah, which is fine. It's not an issue.
I'm led to believe it was sort of the turn of the year. This obviously in January this year, Salford were interested. Can't remember who the manager was, but was he sacked or something?
I don't know.
So I think that's why their interest called.
I don't know.
Because the new manager or whatever it was, that they were not, no longer interested. The only other interest that I heard of in the Football League for him was Accrington.
That's the one I heard.
So then I think if you're faced with the proposition of Accrington in League 2 or Oldham in the National League...
Well, not only that, let's face it, they're also going to offer more weight.
That's what I mean. But it's a bigger club, it's in Manchester, and, it's probably more money than Accrington, even though Accrington are in the Football League, are going to offer him.
Yeah.
So it ticks all the boxes for him. Yeah. And I think he got a three-year deal.
Oh, did he?
I'll be honest, I didn't look at the actual... I think he got a three-year deal.
Well, the fashion seems to be 2 years of the option of a third, doesn't it? So,
which is basically a three-year deal.
Yeah, exactly. But, I'm not... It's a kick in the balls because it's a team in the same league. But it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
And I actually think, to be honest with you, I think the favourites are going to be Chesterfield. I actually would put Oldham as second favourites. I think they're going to make some really good signings.
Well, because Oldham... Realistically, they're a year further down the timeline than we are. They got taken over kind of this time last year.
They didn't start, even though they got relegated this year.
They didn't start here because they were just quicker. Like obviously said in the club.
Yeah.
They didn't start this season great at all, but they've massively sorted themselves out.
They had, apart from the takeover, they had a very similar season to what we had.
The previous season.
Yeah, it's one of them and. I don't know who they lost to, but they probably played Maidenhead and lost, and you go, this is not what I was expecting. Because they were signing new players every week, which is a dangerous territory when you do that. But they probably eventually started to go, right, well, we'll keep you. And you, they've probably got a very good nucleus there, a good team now.
I remember I went on their podcast quite near, because we played
quite
near the start of last season.
Yeah, you did, didn't you?
And I basically said to them, because we found out the hard way,
it
can be a rude awakening in this league.
Oh, it is.
And I think they found that out as well.
Yeah. I think any team that gets relegated first time, Rochdale will be the same this year.
And Hartlepool.
But they've been here very recently.
I
think they'll be up there because they've got a man. I think he was at York. He got York promoted last year.
Who, Hartlepool?
The Hartlepool manager.
Right.
I think he was at York or the year before and he got him promoted. So I think he'll know who to sign. So they probably won't have that rude awakening as such. And they've also been here fairly recently.
Yeah,
but Rochdale will... they'll come into this going, oh yeah, we're playing Dorking at home or whatever. Oh, we'll beat them 3-0. Who the fuck are Dorking? And they'll get outplayed by Dorking. I'm telling you for a fact, they'll get outplayed by Dorking. And they'll be like, what is going on? No, they just won't get it. Because it happens to us. It happens to us. I remember when we played, I think they're not getting playoffs that year, but that first year we got relegated, we played Halifax away and we lost 3-0, I think it was. And I was like, oh wow, we're getting turned over.
Yeah, I remember it.
Like, turned over here.
It was 3-1.
By a team that I...
We scored like a injury time consolation.
I remember thinking, I was like, they're not a bad team. I was like, but this is not a team that should be 3-0 up here. Yeah. I'm like, what is happening? Do you know what I mean? It was bad. And that's what happened. It was just, that's what happened. It's natural. So, but anyway, I've jumped the gun a bit. I was talking about the players that were leaving. Obviously, that was Hobson, wasn't it? So, they're the ones that have already left. Tommy Davis has gone. Yeah. Obviously, a youngster. He wouldn't have been first team in the sense of playing week in, week out. I think without the embargo, I would have gone, we'll give you one more year. In playing in the National South last year.
Yeah.
All right, maybe we have watched him enough times and gone, yeah, I don't think he's ready. Fair enough. Maybe we've done that. We've probably said to him that, mate, you're not going to be first choice. We can't sign you anyway. Oh, sorry, first team. We can't sign you anyway. Go and get yourself some games.
Yeah.
Because he's gone to Averley now, which is a really good move for him, actually.
Yeah, because
really
they've just come up, haven't they? So it's only one level below.
But I've got a list here of people that are, it looks like, are out of contract. So Demetriou, at the very least, would offer him a staff deal, which we obviously still can do.
Yeah, I
actually reckon we'd give him another player coach role.
Do you?
I reckon it'd be more your play when our second choice right back is injured, if you know what I mean. Like, you'd rarely be there. It would just be a case of in and around training still being like that. Because I don't reckon he'll want to retire yet. I reckon he'll think, there was a couple of games last year where, don't get wrong, I think there was a few games where his legs had really gone. But there's other games, he played well. He's still got something to offer. And I think I don't think he'll want to retire.
No, I agree with you on that one. I don't think he'll want to retire. But I think if he wants to continue playing, he's going to have to go elsewhere.
Do you think?
Yeah.
I reckon we'd offer him something. And we'd say, you are literally our first choice right back. A couple of games last year when we'd bring him on like 85th minute towards the end just to see something out. And I think it just brings a bit of experience to the team.
Oh, he does massively. He brings a lot of shitter ass.
I was literally about to say that. There'll be times when...
Because he is experienced.
He'll feel something to put his shirt a little bit straight down and roll about for 10
seconds.
Yeah, it's
not a dark arts, isn't it? Yeah. I get all that. And that's what I mean. I understand what you're saying. He is an asset. But it's very similar to what I was saying about Murphy... and Arnold, like, you've barely played. Sure, I don't know why Siri's biting him. I've lost my train of thought now.
Well, Demetriou, I'm going to say,
I think you look at players that are out of contract, and if they're kind of in that veteran category anyway, and they barely played last season as it is, I would personally be wiping the slate clean as I can.
I get that, but I just think that was always going to be his role last year. He was never meant to replace Scott Morris.
That is different in the sense of like Arnold and even Murphy, really, especially Arnold. But
Arnold was obviously
I get that. That's a fair comment.
I just reckon he'll be like, give me a player contract and I'll play as and when needed. And he's played like 5 games. But I just reckon he'd still say, I can offer you something on that pitch if you need me. And I reckon he'd go, yeah, Sonic, go on it. Because he was doing when we played like the Essex Senior League, it was him and Bentley were doing like the management. So I think Bentley was in theory the manager and he was like the assistant or first team coach, whatever, same shit. Right. And I think that's kind of, we're still, if we keep an academy or 23s, whatever, a B team, whatever we want to call it, I think that role would continue. Maybe a step up a bit more and maybe he'd then become the manager. I don't know, but I think it'd definitely be more coaching focused. But I just reckon he'd say, I don't want to retire yet. I want to play in contract still.
But also, again, this is where so much of it hinges on this impending takeover. Because that B team and everything you just spoke about, that doesn't happen without it.
I mean, it literally doesn't happen.
Doesn't happen.
We haven't got an academy anymore. We haven't. In theory, we haven't got one.
That's what I mean. So much of this hinges on the on any potential.
Yeah.
Well, I say potential. It has to happen one way or another.
Yeah.
Or we die.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the meat shoot. Nathan Ralph, I'm led to believe he's one that we verbally agreed something with, but again, if it don't happen, you can't be here. There's no indication on the contract that Kensdale got. So I would assume he's got a year left. But it was never announced how long he had.
Was it not?
So he could be out of contract. It was never announced what he got.
I think more would have been said.
Yeah, I would have. I think he would have been. I can't imagine he stays, by the way. How old was he, 21?
He's young.
I think he missed one game last year. He had a little off spell, actually. He had one or two spells, but about two or three games, he sort of just lost a bit of maybe confidence. But I think you play that many games, the young centre-half, where you have all the traits of like a modern-day centre-half, likes to be on the ball, come out with it, that sort of composure, I can't see him being here. I think a team will take a gamble on him. I just think they're looking and be like, we can try and mould into something else.
Well, there's apparently...
Well, not something else, but we can mould into a better player.
There's apparently interest from Ipswich, isn't there?
Yeah, that's... I think, well, they've watched... I'm adamant they've watched him all year. Because I remember someone mentioned Ipswich about October time.
Right.
And obviously there was that story... Right, I know it's the Sun, but there was that story about them supposedly being interested in him again like a couple of weeks ago. Well, there's a reason that's then come up again. Now Ipswich, so they must have at least watched him. Who else on this list is? Jack Ridge, obviously, yeah, again, that's one that we've supposedly agreed something with, but don't know. The only other one I can see on this list, there's probably someone else, but the only one I can see on this is Chris Ray.
Yeah, see you later.
Yeah, I think with them going away, to be honest. I can't imagine him being on a lot, but I think that injury record there. Maybe, yeah, I just think we'll go, you know what, we've signed you as like fifth choice, whatever, and if fifth choice you can't really be fit, then what's the point?
Yeah.
So maybe that's being harsh, because I actually think he's a good player. I think he offers something different. I think he offers something, I don't know what it is about, I think he offers something different that the others don't have. There's just something about him, he's a bit more, I don't know, it's just, I think he's got really good hold-up play, I think he's quite intelligent, him and Powell linked up quite well, I thought. There's just something about him, but he's
they had that little spell, kind of. Was it like midway through the season that him and Powell started?
They started a few games, and I thought they linked up really well. And I was like, I like that. I was like, I quite like that as like a. That's almost like what you probably would have looked at in an ideal world as like the second choice pairing, and I was like, you link up quite well, you two here, but we just didn't see it enough. And he's got. I'm led to believe he's got two dodgy knees, like not one, two. So I can't imagine we take that gamble, to be honest.
No.
So, but it was worth a gamble, and I think
it's
type
one of them
was the type of player.
The trialist is always a bit of a ropey one, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're never quite sure what you're going to get, and with the greatest respect, they're normally pretty crap.
Yeah, that's in that sense why you're a trialist. Normally, it's your agent getting on to the club saying, "Well, you want to sign so and so? I've got another player here on my books. Can you have a look at him?"
Yeah.
I do actually like him. So that's not actually me saying he's I.
No,
well,
he's better than that.
I think he's a good player. He's one that what I think what will happen there is he'll join, he'll go Maidstone in the Conference Tower or something, and he'll do quite well. And maybe then another team will take a punt on him. I can see that being that sort of thing.
He's young enough.
Yeah.
But it's worrying to be that young and have two dodgy knees.
So that's who I'm led to believe is out of contract. And there's a list here of then the players that we have in contract. Sandak's another one.
Yeah.
Definitely would like to keep him. But we can't. So this is the list of players that I think are in contract. And it's 14. So we've got enough for a game. But so Colin, sweet. As an actual 14, by the way, again it's actually an alright core, if you get what I mean.
Well, that shows that he's balanced.
If you add to it, I mean there's definitely one player on this list. Probably two, actually, but there's definitely one player on this list who will definitely be off if we when I get to your notice.
I bet I know who it is as well.
Well, there's two.
That's what I mean. I bet I know who the two.
So yeah, Colin, Scott Morris, Tom Clifford, Louis Lomas, and Ollie Kensdale.
That's the defence.
It's not horrific.
You've got a right back. You've got a left back. You've got
two centre halves.
Couple of centre
halves. Oh, and that's what we play. But. You've got that's a team there.
Yeah.
There's a back four. Midfield is Cav Miley, Harry Taylor. So you could argue you could put Taylor back there and make the back five we play. Or whatever you want to call it, three. Hussein, Fonguk, Jack Wood, and Ollie Coker. There's no Benton on that, so he must be out of contract. No, I reckon we would offer him something. It's a midfield, it's all right. Mm-hmm. It's not great, it's all right. And then forwards, Cardwell, Power, Mooney. As a core, it's fine.
Yeah.
You add to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, there'll be, I'll say, I think there's two players that will definitely want, there's one will definitely want to move on.
There's one that will definitely be being moved on as well.
Yeah.
Which we might be talking about the same person.
Yeah, I'm assuming it is. There's one that we'll probably would like to improve on. I'd improve on everyone in that sense, you know what I mean? But then the rest,
yeah,
you go, I'm happy with you being in this team.
It's not, there's no real deadwood there at all.
No.
It's actually not.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're not hiding it. Yeah, Clifford is the one that's obviously not played at all. Yeah. So we'd obviously want to move him on. You know, that's obviously one. Even after that, actually, the rest we'd probably say, you know what, you've got a year left.
Yeah.
Whatever, we'll see it out. Even if we see it out.
One name there that you mentioned was interesting because I thought he only got a 1 year deal last year. Fonguk.
Yeah.
I thought he only got 1 year.
It says here two. It says 2 year deal with the club option of a third.
Bloody hell.
It says here. Same as Taylor, he got that 1 year option.
I seem to remember that.
Clifford's got 2 years, but he's got 1 year left with a club option.
He's still got a year left. Yeah. Or is it now the option?
No, it's the year left now.
Right, okay.
And then obviously with an option. That Mooney 2 years of a club option. You know, that Mooney's one that's obviously been very frustrating. You know, that's a player that we thought would come in and smash it. And in fairness, to that extent, we don't really play to suit him. So you could argue it was a poor signing in that sense. We don't play.
We haven't played the show.
We haven't played to his strengths.
And we signed him very early.
But that's one you'd look at and be like, right, if he can now stay fixed. He started the season unfit, by the way. He started injured. He was playing with an injury. If you can get him 100% fit, you'd like to think he'd offer a lot.
Oh, there's a player there.
A lot.
Fuck me, there's a player there.
But equally, if we're not playing the shape to suit him, actually, you might want to move him on. And say, you've got it wrong. You're actually a good player, mate. We don't play to suit you. See you later. So, that's basically the core of what we've got for next year. You know, you'd like to sign at least one goalie, if not two.
So what you're saying there is Mooney is a winger.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Off no, that
he,
right.
He is. But we don't play wingers. Yeah. Same as Jack Bridge.
Yeah, really. That's why he's playing left wing, man.
Yeah, we don't play. It's a bit mental, really, that you'd have to say, well, certainly, Mooney, I agree with you. Like he had a disappointing season. It was very stop-start with injuries. But there's certainly a player in there. When he was at Altrincham, in the first season we were in the National League, I've said this so many times on here that I thought he was individually the best player we've had against first season.
Yeah,
I thought he was class.
Yeah, certainly the one that stood out.
And we got him and we got Bridge and we don't play either of them in their best position.
Yeah, it's something that's weird. We obviously sort of like chop and change playing like a 5-3-2 or
we played Mooney in the 10.
That's what I mean. We sort of played him in the 10 for a bit in a 5-3-2 and I understand the thinking behind it, but for me it just doesn't work. I understand the thinking behind it, but it just doesn't work for me. I'd rather be going to number 10.
Yeah.
Go and get Zach Brunt back. I'm not saying do that, but you get my point. Like, go and sign an actual 10. So, yeah, I get it. And I say he's a talented player. I think if you were to sort of technically, when you look at a player, you know, you just look at someone, don't you? Sometimes you like his player. You can just tell, can't you? And he's one of them for me. You just watch him. So he gets the ball, he runs with it a bit, and he's always looking to like nutmeg someone and stuff. Yeah. Like, he's that sort of flair player. And you just look and you think, yeah, he's got something. You can just tell straight away. But he's not produced. Not produced at all.
I'll tell you one thing.
Not produced.
Get him off corners.
Yeah. He started all right and then just went, nah, can't do him anymore.
Never seen anyone so consistently like unable to deliver a dead ball.
A lot of players struggle on our pitch, didn't they?
Corners, yeah, but even free kicks, man.
Yeah, true.
They're dreadful.
True. But, you know, it's like, you look at that, that's a decent core of a team.
It is.
And I think, we're rumoured to be after Dallas. He's probably not going to come. There's rumours that Gillingham were after him now. So, I mean, in that, even if we were the front runner, we wouldn't be at that point anyway. So it is what it is. I've not really heard of any other players we're interested in because we sort of can't.
Yeah.
But we obviously are talking and trying. But that's all we can do. We can talk. We can talk. That's it. We can't actually offer. How can we even offer money? How can we even offer like actual figures on
the
sheet?
Don't know what the budget is.
Don't know our thing. We can say we're interested in you. We'd like to think we can give you X, Y, and Z, but we're not sure. Great. That sounds perfect. Yeah, I can't wait to join. You know, so it's tough. They must be pulling their hair out. You know, on one hand, you know, maybe it'd be silly of Kev to leave, because if the takeover does happen and they've got a, you know, the dynamics of the entire club change. You know, the atmosphere lifts. You know, the season tickets probably get another 1,500 on the sales. You know, it's a different story. However, the longer it takes, he could be on a bit of a hiding to nothing.
Yeah.
Because let's face it, there'll still be demands for people to get promoted. It's just the way it is, you know, because some people will see Southend United as not a... We shouldn't be in this league. And they'll say, well, you've still got enough to get out of it, though. People just the way people are. I'm not saying they're right or wrong. But, you know, there'll be some people that will still be demanding promotion. And it's... You know, we're already playing catch-up.
Again, it's every pre-season's the same.
You know,
so there will be teams going back in to start pre-season this week.
Yeah, I would have thought there'd be a team, there were at least a handful of teams starting tomorrow. Because I think that'd give you about 5, maybe 6 weeks to start the season.
Yeah.
Some teams do a 6 week pre-season.
Some will be in.
You know? There's non-league teams, we've seen it, they're training already. Non-league. Well, that's slightly different because they're only part-time, they play twice a week, but train twice a week, but they're in pre-season training now.
Yeah, we are now, we're no longer in the closed season, we're in pre-season now.
Yeah.
It's almost July.
Yeah.
By the end of next week, it's July.
Yeah. But I'll say we're not going to talk about next season in actual depth yet. I'll say it's probably a good place to wrap it up, maybe. But there's two sort of scenarios really what happen here. It's we get taken over, and even if we again don't get playoffs next season, which I actually don't think we will, because I think, as I say, we're already playing catch up. There's too much to sort of correct, I think. But as long as he's gone, it's positive. And I say, that cloud lifts off this club and the atmosphere changes, and it'll be a club you could hope to be proud of. But then there's always that what if, because it's Ron. What if he... I think I remember saying this before. What if it's all just a big ploy? All just a big lie?
It can't be.
It's because some people will say, what do you mean? He can't be lying. But it's Ron.
No,
he can lie.
Yeah, I know he can lie, but
he can turn around and you know, and yeah, basically, I'll try to sell it. Couldn't get what I wanted. No party was serious, which is what he's always said, by the way. If you remember, he's always said of no interested parties, which is a load of shit.
But then, funnily enough,
we knew firsthand.
Funnily enough,
people were contacting him.
The day he puts it up for sale, there's like 5 interested parties.
Yeah.
No one's interested though.
Yeah, so.
It's a bit like, funnily enough, Ron, until you put a for sale sign outside your house, you don't know who's interested.
But he knew who was interested in the point I was trying to make. He was turning down phone calls. He was not getting back to certain people that were saying, can we have a serious conversation?
Yeah.
We know that firsthand. So, yeah, what if it's just a massive ploy to then somehow, I don't know, maybe somehow gain some leverage over the council? I don't know, but you can't put it past him. You can't put it past him. He's a slippery character. You cannot put that past him. And I think I remember saying to you at the time, or it might have even been on this. My concern was when they released that statement and he said, I'm looking to sell or seek investment. It was the or investment for me. That wasn't, I'm looking to sell. I really don't want to be here anymore, to be honest. I'm not really interested in investment. If a serious offer comes in, then yeah, of course we'll talk. But in an ideal world, I want to. He did sort of say an ideal world he wants to sell, but do you know what I mean? It's because he said the or.
Yeah.
That's in his head. So he's thinking about that. Oh, actually, if I get some investment.
Yeah.
And I'm led to believe one of the three offers at the moment is investment.
Well, we kind of know that. Is this.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So, excuse me. Whilst I don't think that is the preferred choice at the moment, it's still a choice. And you can easily turn around and go, you know what? No, we'll do that. I'll get investment. I'll still be here. He can do that. And he can just ruin it for everyone. But let's just hope that, I say, that's a really negative way to end it. But
to be honest, if that is the case and he does that, I'll never set foot in Roots Hall ever again.
I still haven't got a season ticket because I'm waiting for it to be officially sold. I'm waiting for it to say the club is owned by X, Y, and Z. Ron Martin has sold the club, whatever. We thank him for his services. Nah. That sort of shit. And we can move on. I'll be down there.
Compliments. I'll go down there. I could give to his secretary.
I'll go to the club shop and I'll buy it in cash. Scene ticket. I'll have so much faith in this club moving forward without him. Got so much potential. Great manager or great management. Decent young core at the moment. Some really good players there. And players that seem to care and are committed. But until then, it's going to be the same for every year, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Have a good one.
a bit of a sour one. But no. To be honest, I don't think there's much more I can
I don't think it's being negative. I think it's just being a realist.
No, it is.
Some people say it's being negative. I'm actually not. I'm just being realistic. If he's not gone, that's what's going to happen.
Mm.
You know. But once he does go, it's gonna be great. I'm still confident. I'm still confident he will. It's just that doubt in the back of my mind.
Yeah.
So my actual hope for next season, and of course, in an ideal world, you want promotion. But you know what? Takeover goes through. We sign a good core of players. Again, one or two probably won't work. It is what it is. Say we finish eighth again, but we have a nice little cup run, FA Trophy, even FA Cup maybe. I'd love that. That'd be such a good team just to build on after that. Imagine we finish eighth and we win the FA Trophy. It's the FA Cup then. Imagine we win the FA Trophy.
Win the FA Cup.
That'd be such a... And you go, you just look at it and you'd be like, this is positive. It's there's proper, something building here. And that's what I'm hoping for. Yeah. That's what I want. That's basically my dream for next season.
Yeah, because to be honest, I can't disagree with you. I already think anything in the league, we've been left behind.
Yeah, yeah. We're at least being left behind.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I know, even with the fact we've lost Notts County and Wrexham, we're stuck in the mud.
Yeah, yeah, that's probably a good way to put it. Stuck in the mud. Everyone else is still running about.
Still able to do things. We can't move.
Yeah.
We cannot play our hand.
Yeah,
we don't know what the hand is.
Yeah, must be so frustrating. Yeah. It says a lot. They're still here because they're obviously, they're obviously committed. That's what I mean. They're committed.
Well, I think the thing is as well. I reckon that they're obviously talking, and the of course, like it takes its toll, and everyone's got a breaking point, like mentally. But I sincerely hope that they obviously do stick it out. The management, obviously, I'm talking about.
Yeah,
because. Surely the thought process is we've come this far working like under Ron, it's nearly over.
Yeah. So that's obviously what it is.
So we might as well stick it out.
That's obviously what it is.
It's nearly over.
Yeah, that's obviously what it is.
I sincerely hope that they don't walk and that is the attitude.
Oh, I really hope they don't walk. I'll be gutted if they walk.
But that's what I mean. I hope the attitude is not long. We're nearly there. He's almost gone.
You know, I said when I talk about Ken's now about how he's like the. Almost like the sort of perfect young centre half at the moment, that perfect blend of just what someone would look for. I think if you was like looking for a manager, people would look at the way Kev sets his teams up and the way he is as a coach and as a manager and the way he. I think they'd almost be like, oh, you're like a perfect modern day coach. And I see that, that's why I'd be gutted if that fell apart.
Well, so
absolutely gutted.
We spoke about it there. The amount of stuff that we've let slip through the net, like with the whole Lapata situation, if we let Kev slip through the net,
it'd be a tragedy.
That's unforgivable.
That'd be gutted.
That's unforgivable.
Yeah, it'd be gutted.
Because we have got a very progressive, good young coach that, funnily enough, actually wants to be our manager.
That's the main thing in it as well. They want to be it.
It's not even like he is all the things I just said about him as a coach. But he's got no connection to the club. This is someone that was... He played here for over 10 years, was captain for the vast majority of that time.
Yeah.
There's a huge affinity with the player and the club. And, you know... I'll say it again. To potentially let that slip through our fingers would be our darkest day, I think.
I don't know if we ever mentioned this. I don't think we put it on. I think it was like off the record. I mean, it wasn't anything that was can't be spared. So I'll say it now. But it was when we had Kev on.
When he was still at Bristol.
When he was at Bristol Rovers, yeah. It was just at the start of COVID, basically, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah, you know, I remember it. And we spoke off air, if you like. And he basically said he was like, I'd love to come here. Like, he was like, it's my club, and like, I have to succeed. Like, I can't fail at that club. And that was just like, that almost gave me up goosebumps. I was like, oh, you actually really want to come here. Like, you know, and that was two years before he came.
That was 2020.
Yeah. You know, so this is someone that's such a, I'm not saying people, of course people want to succeed, but this is such a fairy tale with that. And you can get behind that more than some random bloke who used to play for Crawley, who's become a manager. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's just so different. Like, and I'm so confident he'd do it.
Oh, yeah, that's what I mean. Once
the shackles are off, I'm so confident.
I'd be
confident. Absolutely
devastated if we lost him.
I'm so confident he's going to do it. But he just needs that.
He needs to be let free.
Yeah. That sounded well cheesy, didn't it? Just needs to be let free.
He does. Because, you know, you look at what he's already done. I don't even know, like, what he does, what he says, but we know the shit he's had to work with, and we can sort of see what he's still able to manufacture. He's obviously a good manager.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, because if you're not a good manager in that working environment, that team last year gets relegated.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. So he's obviously a good manager.
Yeah. Yeah. It's yeah, you can see what he's trying to do as well. You know, some people will get frustrated with football. They'll say something's a bit boring and stuff, but I think that's just kind of just modern day football, isn't it, really? The way, like, it's just the way football's changed. You know, you don't get many managers now, though, especially young up-and-coming managers, to say that want to play that sort of percentage football of going, right, well, if we hit the channels long enough and we keep the, you know, if we just keep hitting that channel, we've identified a weakness. They don't play like that anymore, really. It's all about, right, let's keep the ball, let's try and break them down, let's create an opening, let's wear them down. Like, it is frustrating, but just stick with it. Get behind it, because it could be special next year.
Yeah.
Once he's gone. Let's end it on that.
Yeah, I think we brought the mood back up a little bit there towards the end. I didn't want to end on that sour note.
Yeah.
Any last minute bits? We're in added time here.
Watch this space in terms of
everything.
The podcast as well, really.
Watch this space on the takeover. Watch this space on us.
Yeah, there'll be a yeah. We've been a bit busy behind the scenes. That's probably why. Well, literally busy in some senses, and then, yeah, doing something else. So
yeah, been a little bit busy with our actual lives, and then this thing that we started about three years ago.
Pretty cool thing that we've got going. So it won't make a difference to you, not really.
I know you still won't know why we're a supporters group.
Yeah, but,
you still won't know why those two melts that do that podcast get privy to this information.
But it's going to help us, and it means that we can record more now. So, if you like listening, this is great. On that note, see you later to the three listeners.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.